Downlifters from Reversed Field Recordings, Advanced Edition. This is one of those FX techniques that instantly makes your drum and bass transitions feel more expensive, more personal, and way less like you grabbed a random sweep sample. We're making reverse downlifters, but not the generic white noise kind. We're going dark and organic using field recordings inside Ableton Live, mostly stock devices. Think 170 to 175 BPM, tight phrasing, and at moment right before the drop where it feels like the room gets sucked out, then the downbeat hits like a truck. By the end, you'll have a reusable downlifter rack, plus a few variations, an airy reverse whoosh, a metallic reverse pull, and a controlled sub-shadow layer that you feel more than you hear. All right. Step 0. Choosing the right field recording. At this level, the sound choice matters more than your plugin chain. You want something reverse-friendly. That means broadband movement like wind, cloth rustle, traffic, room tone stuff that already has motion inside it. And you also want natural transients sometimes. Doors, keys, chains, gravel steps. Because when you reverse those, that transient becomes the arrival at the end of the downlifter. That arrival is what sells the whole effect. Coach note: before you even hit reverse, do a quick edit. Trim your source so the interesting moment is near the start of the clip. Because once you reverse, the start becomes the end. If your cool part is buried somewhere random, the downlifter won't land with intention. Now step 1. Prep the audio and reverse it. Drag your field recording onto an audio track. Then decide your warp strategy. If you want it natural and organic, turn warp off. That's usually best for whooshes and textures where you're not trying to rhythmically lock every detail. If you need it to feel like it's being dragged perfectly on the grid, turn warp on and use Complex Pro. And here's a little advanced move. In Complex Pro, tiny formants adjustments can make the downlifter feel larger or smaller without sounding like an obvious pitch shift. Don't go crazy. Small moves. Next, pick the length. In drum and bass, phrasing is everything. One bar is that quick pull into a fill. Two bars is the classic pre-drop downlift. Four bars is more like a breakdown energy drain, but be careful at 174. Four bars can kill momentum if the arrangement wants urgency. Highlight a clean 1-4 bar section and consolidate it, Command or Control J. Then in clip view, click Rev. Now step 2, shape the envelope so it behaves like a real downlifter. A reversed recording can feel messy, because the energy naturally ramps into the end. That's what we want, but we need to control it so it doesn't spike your limiter or blur the drop. Quick option, clip fade in. Because reversed audio builds toward the end, a fade in here is basically shaping the front so it doesn't start too loud or too abruptly. For tight pulls, try 150 to 600 milliseconds. For longer sweeps, 1 to 2 seconds. More precise option, put a utility after the clip and automate the gain downward into the drop. Yes, downward. Because you might want the downlifter to dramatically pull energy out right before the impact, or you might want it to keep whispering under the drop. Try starting at 0 dB and ending anywhere from minus 12 down to full silence depending on taste. And now the D-N be clean option. Sidechain it to the kick. Put a compressor on the downlifter track, turn on sidechain, and feed it your kick or kick group. Set attack super fast, like 0.3 to 3 milliseconds. Release around 50 to 120 milliseconds depending on the groove. Ratio from 4:1 up to 10:1 if you want it aggressive. Aim for 3 to 8 dB of gain reduction on the kick hits. Teacher tip: the job of the downlifter is to create anticipation, not to steal the transient. Sidechain is your keep the drop punchy assurance. Now step 3, tone control with filtering and resonance. This is where the suction feeling comes from. Drop an auto filter on the chain. Use a low pass, 12 or 24 dB slope. Automate the cutoff downward over the length of the downlifter. Start open, like 12 to 18kHz, and end somewhere between 200hz and 2kHz depending on how closed and claustrophobic you want it. Add a bit of resonance, but don't whistle. 10 to 25% is a good range. Then for motion, turn on the auto filter LFO. Sync it to 1/8 or 1/16, and keep the amount subtle, like 5 to 15%. This is not wobble bass. This is seasoning. At 174 BPM, subtle modulation reads as alive, while heavy modulation reads as gimmick. Now step 4. Pitch gravity. Classic reverse pull-down energy. Option 1. Automate clip transpose. Go from 0 down to minus 12 over 1 or 2 bars. If you want it savage, try minus 24, but expect artifacts. Sometimes those artifacts are the vibe. Sometimes they just sound broken. Option 2, and this is a favorite for darker techie DNB, frequency shifter. Put it after the filter. Choose Ring Mod for darker, metallic movement, or Freak Shift for subtler motion. Automate the course slightly negative, like 0 to minus 80 HE over the downlifter, and blend with the dry/wet around 15 to 40%. That little downward drag makes field recordings feel like they're being pulled through machinery instead of just played backwards. Now step 5, distortion and density so it survives a loud mix. Field recordings can be thin, and DNB mixes are not polite. Add saturator, analog clip mode, 2 to 8 dB of drive, soft clip on. Or if you want nastier mids, use overdrive, set the focus frequency somewhere between 500 HE and 2K HE, drive around 10 to 35%, and adjust dynamics so it doesn't explode. Then put a glue compressor after, just kissing it, attack 3 to 10 milliseconds, release auto or around 0.1 to 0.3 seconds, and aim for 1 to 4 dB of gain reduction. You're not trying to crush it. You're trying to make it feel like one object. Now step 6. Put it in a space but keep it punchy. Hybrid reverb is perfect. Choose a hall or plate. Decay around 1.2 to 3.5 seconds. Pre-delay 10 to 35 milliseconds so the end still punches. High cut around 6 to 10 kHz to avoid fizzy wash. And keep dry/wet discipline 10 to 25% if it's inline. If you want more control, put the reverb on a return and send to it. Pro move, try reverb before distortion if you want gnarly, smeared atmospheres. Try reverb after distortion if you want a cleaner cinematic tail. Now step 7 is where this becomes properly DNB, a 3-band layer. Air, mid, and sub. Group your chain into an audio effect rack, then make 3 chains, air, mid, sub. Put EQ8 first in each chain so you can control what each layer is responsible for. AIR chain, high pass at 4 to 8 kHz. Add erosion in noise mode, frequency 6 to 12 kHz, amount around 0.2 to 1.5. That gives you textured air without relying on boring white noise. Then you can widen this layer with utility, something like 140 to 180%. Advanced stereo discipline tip. In EQ8, switch to M/S mode and high pass the side higher than the mid. For example, side high pass set 300 to 800 Hz. That way, your width lives up top, and your low mid stay solid and punchy. MID chain. Band pass at roughly 200 Hz to 5 kHz. Put your distortion here. Put your resonant filter movement here. This is the character layer that reads on smaller speakers. SUB chain. Low pass below 120 Hz, or even below 80 if you want to be extra safe. Utility width to 0%. Mono, always. Then compress it gently, 2 to 5 dB of gain reduction, just to stop swells from eating headroom. Reminder, sub downlifters are felt more than heard. If you can clearly hear a big sub note falling, you might be wrecking your drop headroom without realizing it. Now step 8. Arrange it like a DNB producer, not like a sound design demo. The classic move, a 2-bar pre-drop pull. Start at exactly 2 bars before the drop and end right on the downbeat. Pair it with a clean impact at the drop, and maybe a short room verb on that impact so the transition feels like a physical event. The DJ style move, a 1-bar downshift into bar 16 or bar 32. Combine it with a quick low pass on your drums, maybe a tiny vocal cut, and if you want spice, a very light beat repeat stutter. Light. If it sounds like a glitch tutorial, you overdid it. And the jungle turnaround. Use a 1-bar reversed metallic recording, end it right before a break chop fill and an amen crash. This is one of those things that instantly feels authentic rather than EDM. Now, extra coach notes that will save you pain. First, control the last 50 to 150 milliseconds like it's a kick drum. That endpoint is where clicks happen, limiter spikes happen, and where your drop gets robbed. Zoom in. Add a tiny fade out at the very end, even 5 to 20 milliseconds. If it still jumps, use a safety limiter or soft clip at the end of the chain, but don't rely on it. Lower the track gain too. The limiter should be a seatbelt, not the engine. Second, avoid pre-drop masking. If your downlifter is fighting your snare, do not just turn the snare up. Make space. A quick EQ dip around 180 to 250 Hz and 2 to 4 kHz can clear room. Or go advanced. Use multiband dynamics or a compressor keyed from the snare to duck only the 2 to 5 kHz band of the downlifter. That way the snare stays forward, but the transition still feels huge. Third, commit early. Freeze and flatten, or resample. Once it's printed as audio, you'll do faster micro fades, clip gain moves, tiny nudges, and ends 30ms early versions without getting lost in device tweaking. Let's hit a few advanced variations you can try once the basic rack works. Double reverse fake gravity. Duplicate your reversed clip. On the duplicate, reverse it again so it's forward, but keep your downward filter and pitch automation moving like a downlifter. Blend it quietly, 10 to 30%. You get the motion of a downlifter, but with forward micro transients that feel like real air movement. Band time downlifter. Let AIR arrive slightly early, like 10 to 60 milliseconds, and let SUB arrive slightly late, like 10 to 40 milliseconds, so the tug hits right near impact. You can do this by resampling each band and nudging, or by splitting to separate tracks and using track delay. Neuromechanical inhale. Put corpus on the mid layer, membrane or tube mode. Tune it low, short decay, and automate the tune downward. Then saturate lightly. It turns random metal into a controlled vacuum instrument. Ghosted DJ break illusion. In the last half beat only, automate a harder pitch down, like a record is about to slow without ruining the whole tube bar sweep. Add a touch of grime like vinyl distortion or saturation, and maybe a very short slap delay for attitude. Now, common mistakes to avoid. Too long for the phrase. 4 bars into a tube bar drop setup usually kills momentum at 174. Overwide low end. If the sub layer is wide, your drop will feel smaller and your limiter will suffer. No dynamic control. Reverse transients can spike right before the drop and you won't notice until your master starts panicking. Over-reverbing. Long bright tails smear drum clarity and make the drop feel less defined. And ignoring key center. Metallic recordings can ring on weird notes. If you hear an annoying tone, sweep a bell at cue to find it, then notch it, or even boost a harmonic that matches the tonic of your track. That tiny bit of tonal alignment makes it feel like it belongs. Quick 15-minute practice to lock this in. Pick 2 field recordings, one airy like wind or room tone, and one metallic like keys or chain. Make a 2-bar organic whoosh. Reverse it, filter cutoff down. Add controlled reverb. Then make a 1-bar metallic pull. Reverse it, add frequency shifter in ring mod. Add saturation. Layer them into a 16-bar intro into drop. Put the metallic in the final bar, the airy across the final 2 bars. Sidechain them to the kick. Then do the most important test. Mute the downlifters. This audio version is shortened for playback.